Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
Hour number two of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show. We welcome you and thank you for listening to us across our great CBS Sports Radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Channel 206, and the Radio.com application. And we're coming to you live, by the way, from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. Number as always to jump on in, and we encourage your participation. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. You could also give us a follow, shoot us a tweet on the good old cesspool of Twitter at Zach Gelb. We'll have Dick Vermeil coming up later in the show. Colin Dunlap as well. We'll chat about the Antonio Brown situation with Colin Dunlap and, of course, delve into a little bit about past Super Bowl memories with Dick Vermeil, and also get into this upcoming matchup, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, between the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers down in Miami for Super Bowl 54. Let's get into that coaching matchup. This is something I want to spend some time on right now, and I know we'll get into it a little bit more next week as well. This coaching matchup, it's very interesting to me because of the simple fact of the redemption factor for both of these coaches. Not just what it would mean for both organizations, more so for Kansas City, since they've not won a Super Bowl since Super Bowl IV. And we know that the 49ers have won a bunch of Super Bowls in the past, but it's been quite some time since they've last won their last Super Bowl. Now, they have appeared in some recently. You saw the 49ers lose that game with the Harbaugh Bowl going back a few years ago, but it's been a long time since they won it, and each fan base interprets a long time in a different way. When you get used to winning and winning and winning, and then you go on a drought of over 20 plus years, you go, that's a long time. Where then other fans will sit there and say, I've never seen a championship, or my team hasn't won since Super Bowl IV, so you don't know what it's like to be going without a championship for some great actual period of time. But with both of these coaching matchups, and with both of these coaches, you have Kyle Shanahan right now, and the way that his stock is in the coaching world, it's going through the roof. When you take a team that was dreadful and miserable last year and you have them turn into what they are right now, this is a coaching job that is going to be received and met with many words of extolment, as it should be. Because going into this season, we didn't look at this San Francisco 49ers offense and say, look at all the weapons they have, and you still don't do that. Yes, they have really great players in some positions. Kittle is a great player. Emmanuel Sanders, who they acquired this year via trade, is a really solid player. Deebo Samuel is a good player. Their offensive line is very talented. They're not a team, though, that jumps off the page offensively like Kansas City, where you're loaded with studs at the quarterback position with Mahomes, one of the best in the game. The best, to me, the best player in the game. Tyreek Hill, one of the top wide receivers in the game. And then Travis Kelce, one of the top tight ends in the game. There's a difference when you look at the offensive talent around the Kansas City Chiefs and then also the San Francisco 49ers. Now, that doesn't mean Andy Reid's doing a horrible job because he has great talent. Let's not take that away from him, because it was also Andy Reid who was the one that fell in love with Patrick Mahomes and made that transition from Alex Smith to Patrick Mahomes, and not only said, I think we have the right move for the future, but I know we have the right man there. So both of these coaches should be praised for what they've done this year And also give credit to Andy Reid for bringing in Spags and Steve Spagnuolo and seeing that development of the defense throughout the year. Now, this isn't a great defense. We know that. This is not a great defense, but they've played well enough. And that's all this defense needs to do, is just play well enough and then let Mahomes do the work and do the magic. So with both of these coaching storylines and the way that we look at those coaches right now, and let me throw D-Ben in here as the guinea pig. When you think of Kyle Shanahan, and I know you love Kyle Shanahan, but nationally, what's the one moment and what's the one narrative that surrounds Kyle Shanahan is what?
28-3.
Bingo. So that is what it is for Kyle Shanahan, and he's learned from it. He was an offensive coordinator there. He turned out to right now be what looks like a very good coach and a coach that's going to have a promising future and may be able to coach for a very long time. You never know with how this league goes from year to year. Right now, though, the image of Kyle Shanahan looks really good. And then for Andy Reid, what's the one knock on Andy Reid and what's been a very successful career?
Playoff failure.
Bingo. Whether it was the Super Bowl with Donovan McNabb, whether it was the NFC title game losses with the Philadelphia Eagles. If you want to look at Kansas City, the two that stick out to me and right away is the game against Tennessee, is also the game against Indianapolis. If you want to throw the game against New England when Doug was the offensive coordinator, where they down 14 and they were taking their sweet time, you could do that as well. Andy Reid, though, everyone talks about him. Great guy. Really good coach. Look what he did in Philadelphia. Look what he did in Kansas City. And the only thing that people could say a bad word about him about is the playoff blunders year in and year out, over and over and over again. And this guy is so deserving of a ring, but just because you're deserving of a ring doesn't mean you're going to get one. Doesn't mean that right away that means Kansas City's easily going to win this Super Bowl. But that matchup, and you look at Salah too, with the defensive coordinator for the 49ers, Rob Salah, that defense up against Reed's offense with Bieniemy as well, that's the big storyline. And then we'll see what Jimmy G and what this offense can do and the way that Shanahan takes advantage of things as he does, where you see him get the most out of the talent and the way that they divide up and they design up the blocking schemes. And even last week, you have an all-time great quarterback and you had a defense that wasn't great but has some good pieces with Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith. And Shanahan said, I don't care about their quarterback. Our defense will find a way to make enough plays. And they did. And, oh, yeah, we're going to run the ball with whoever we have, and they won't be able to stop it. And that's what they did. And they ran that ball over and over and over again in that first half, in that second half. Mostert goes for 220 yards and four touchdowns. So both of these coaches are doing a really special job. And whichever coach wins this Super Bowl and wins Super Bowl 54 next Sunday, they're going to get a giant monkey off their back. For Kyle Shanahan, he doesn't have to hear another 28-3 joke again. Because what he could do then is put a Super Bowl ring on his middle finger and say, how do you like me now? 28-3? Nah, as a head coach, I want a ring. Shut your trap. And then for Andy Reid, he won't have to hear about the five NFC title game losses. He won't have to hear about blowing a lead to the Tennessee Titans and Marcus Mariota. He won't have to hear about Andrew Luck and the heroics after they blew that lead, because what he could say is, I was able to fight back and win a ring. And that ring would be the cherry on top of what's been a pretty damn good Sunday for Andy Reid in his playoff and in his NFL career. So this Super Bowl, even though you could look at the storylines, is Jimmy G going to throw the football 27, 28 times? This defense for the 49ers, Mahomes and his stardom and his success and him being the best player in the league, those are all great storylines. And from a player's standpoint, Mahomes is the best storyline. When I look at the storylines, though, of the overall Super Bowl, and I want to take away from Chiefs fans who have been great fans for a long time, other than that one jerk last year who was shining a laser in Tom Brady's eyes, Chiefs fans, though, deserve this. 49ers fans, they deserve this, too. Only one team can win, though. And when you evaluate all these storylines, and I keep on jotting down all these storylines, nothing to me, though, in either case, usurps the storyline of the coaches. Shanahan trying to put to bed in the final leg of all these 28-3 jokes, and then Andy Reid trying to get people like me to finally shut up and say, Andy Reid, really, 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 really good coach. However, one thing missing is that ring, and he makes the same blunders over and over and over again. So the preeminent storyline in this Super Bowl is the coaching matchup, the redemption of Shanahan and the redemption of Andy Reid. 855-212-4CBS, that's CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, and it's sponsored by Geico. Whether you own a rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. Let's go to our good pal, Conrad in Milwaukee. He's next up with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio. Conrad, what's happening, my man?
Yeah, you know what? The only thing we're missing here is an octagon to put those two coaches in for the coin flip or something like that, because those two guys, they don't get to dictate what's going to go on the field. But ultimately, that is the storyline, and I absolutely agree with you. But here's the deal. If Mahomes wins the third down battle and the Chiefs are on the field and the time and possessions in the Chiefs' favor, Chiefs are winning this thing. That's what I'm looking at right now. I think it's going to be, you know, Nick Bosa is going to try to put an end to that. But Patrick Mahomes is flat out the best quarterback in the league right now, and this is his time to shine against probably one of the most premier defenses that we've seen. I really like their defense. I think they're solid, but I have a feeling that Mahomes is going to be too much for him. And this is Andy Reid's time to shine, and he's going to be able to do that. And Shanahan, you know what? He's got himself a good team for quite a while. He's probably going to get his. But right now, this Super Bowl, I'm leaning towards the Chiefs.
You think that they'll be around for a long time, and they have a young team too, and they took an extra step earlier than what people would expect. But what I'll also throw out to you is it's not always a given that they're going to be here for a long time. Like, look at the Rams. The Rams last year, they made the Super Bowl. They didn't even make the playoffs this year, and maybe they could bounce back. Now, a little bit different, because I do think long-term Jimmy G is better than Jared Goff, and you still have some guys in a favorable contract situation with the 49ers. So when you get there, you have to take advantage, because you never know if you're going to return again. I saw the piece on Bleacher Report with Donovan McNabb when he was leaving the field after Super Bowl 39. He said, I thought to myself, we'll be back, we'll be back, and they never got back. But to your point, Conrad, in terms of the game storylines, like in the game, I look at the start. Because, I know I said this last week, Kansas City can't get down big to Tennessee. They did and they came back. You can't get down too big to San Francisco because they could run the football and beat up on your defense. So the start to me is big, and then it's going to be the Jimmy G factor. Because I agree with you. Right now, I feel Kansas City. I feel like it's Andy Reid's time. Mahomes looks unstoppable right now. That's what's going to make it so fun. Mahomes up against that 49ers defense. Jimmy G, though, if this does get into a shootout, and if he does have the ball late, and if they make him throw 30, 33 times in a playoff run so far where he's only thrown 27 passes in the first two games, can he eliminate the mistakes, and can he step up and make the big throws? We've seen it at pieces. We've seen it in stretches this year. The Arizona game, the Rams game, the Saints game, some games that come to mind.
Don't you think it's going to be more about the running game for San Francisco, though? And I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Sure. You bring up a good point with the run game. I don't think Raheem Mostert's going to be running for 200 yards in a Super Bowl. Who knows? The run game's going to be an importance, but with the way Kansas City plays, yes, the run game and keeping Mahomes off the sidelines is going to be big. However, Jimmy G's going to have to throw this football, I think. And I could be wrong, but right now I would say he's going to have to throw the football at least 23 times. I really do believe that in the way that this game's going to go and how quick paced this game's going to be, eventually you're going to have to let Jimmy G get loose. And I just wonder if Jimmy G is going to rise or if Jimmy G is going to have a mistake. Because I look back at that, it was the Seattle game. He made some mistakes, and there could have been more in that game. There were some dropped interceptions as well. So, yes, if you're San Francisco, at first you want to be true to your identity, run the football. What happens if the running game isn't as successful as it was last week? And let's not say even as successful. What happens if it's 50% of the production? Sure, you're still being a decent spot. If there's a situation, though, and I don't know if Kansas City could stop that run consistently. They did so against Derrick Henry. If they get San Francisco in an uncomfortable spot, or if they're not off to this terrible start, but they're settling for field goals, and you have Mahomes just moving the ball down the field, and you're down 14-3, or it gets to 17-7, and you're in the third quarter, whatever it may be, you're going to have to throw that football. That's why I really do believe Jimmy G is going to be in the 20s. And if this gets into a shootout and he has to go into the low 30s, can he step up and deliver? He's shown us some signs this year. It's a little bit different, though, in the Super Bowl. I think that's such a fun storyline, too. I'm not saying he can't do it. However, on some of those passes, are there going to be picks? Because Mahomes, very rarely does he make mistakes. Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we return, are Atlanta Falcons fans rooting for Kyle Shanahan? And our Philadelphia Eagles fans rooting for Andy Reid? Very curious about that. And we'll broaden up the topic a little bit. If you are a team if you're a fan of a team and you had a coach for a long time or even a few years and your team's not in the big game, would you root for that coach to have success? We'll chat about that on the other side. It's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. The All-Star Game starters have been announced. Now, they draft anyway, eventually. But the 2020 East All-Star starters are Atlanta's Trae Young, Boston's Kemba Walker. How about that, Kyrie Irving and Mikey B? Toronto's Pascal Siakam. I love the Toronto story this year, too. I thought that team would be a playoff team. I did not think they would look this good, though. So a nice job by the Toronto Raptors, and it shows how good of a coach Nick Nurse is. As people wondered, was it just a one-year thing? No, Nick Nurse, very good coach. Milwaukee's Giannis Antetokounmpo. Can you say that name, Mikey B?
I can, yes.
Go ahead.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Now you go Kumbo, is it? Giannis,
yeah.
Antetokounmpo?
You could go Giannis Antetokounmpo, or if you want to go Giannis Antetokounmpo, whatever you're feeling. I've heard both.
Can you try to say that 10 times fast?
First and last?
Giannis Antetokounmpo, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Giannis Antetokounpo, Giannis Antetokounmpo. I say it gets difficult.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, 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 Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Wow.
He's a machine.
How about that?
The Greek freak, the Greek freak, the Greek freak, the Greek freak, the Greek freak.
Uber delivery driver freak. How about that for Mikey B? Is that what you do when you deliver Uber Eats? You just go, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Oh, left turn, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yes, actually it is. I've done it many times in the car. I'll just randomly go, all right, I got to take this burrito somewhere. Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'm not kidding.
Tom DiBenedetto. See, I can't say your name 10 times fast. I could barely say it one time.
I don't think I can do it.
Let's, you know, try a little bit.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, 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 Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Cutting off a syllable here somewhere.
It's getting shorter and shorter every time. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
There we go. So you got Giannis Antetokounmpo with the Bucks. Joel Embiid. Joel the process. Embiid is there. So that's your East All-Star starters. Trae Young, Kemba Walker, Pascal Siakam, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Joel Embiid. For the West, you got Luka Doncic of the Dallas Mavericks, James Harden of the Houston Rockets, the Lakers' LeBron James, the Clippers' Kawhi Leonard, and the Lakers' Anthony Davis. I guess there's no potential tampering storylines with this draft. Last year, it was such a big deal with LeBron James and Anthony Davis and LeBron saying there's no tampering. I don't think there's going to be any tampering big issues this year, though.
Yeah, probably not. I can't think of, I know Anthony Davis free agent storyline, but, you know, Giannis drafting him, eh.
It is a refreshing thing about this season that there is no, like, foregone conclusion expected player move. You know, like, everybody assumed, was wondering about Kawhi. Everyone was wondering about KD. Everyone was wondering about AD last year. It seems that there's, like, a little bit of settlement right now.
Yeah, you could still wonder about AD, I guess, but I would think most people would anticipate that Anthony Davis is going to be back with the Los Angeles Lakers, especially with the Rich Paul connection and the LeBron James connection. Wouldn't that be something, though? If when free agency starts July 1 or whatever it is, that Anthony Davis is going elsewhere, taking his talents somewhere else.
There's been some weird rumors that the Nets have interest in trying
stop.
To get him. I'm not, I don't know if I buy, but I've seen it.
You are such a Nets homer.
This is not homer. This is like a Nets double.
Hold on. I grew up as a Nets fan. Jason Kidd, you want to talk about one of the great entrances ever. The introduction for Jason Kidd. What was he, 6'4", right?
6'4" out of Cal.
Yeah, 6'4", guard out of Cal, 225 pounds. They would do the announcer buildup, so it would be 6'4" from Cal, 224 pounds, point guard. And there'd be a pause. You have all nine Nets fans going nuts.
Me and then, Billy.
Yeah, you, Billy, Evan Roberts with the pom-poms. Let's go, Nets!
Let's go,
Let's go, Nets! Let's go, Nets! And the announcer would just go, Jason Kidd!
Say it so fast.
Yeah, it was awesome. That's actually how I became a Nets fan. Because I would listen to those introductions in the car on the radio, and I thought it was so cool when you would just hear 6'4" guard out of Cal, Jason Kidd!
Jason Kidd!
Absolutely loved it. So anyway, that would be something if Anthony Davis just winds up on a different team and you have him elsewhere. But getting back to your point, could the Nets even afford them? Do they even have the space?
They would have to make a deal and definitely trade some guys away to get him in. But as of right now, I mean, clearly no with the cap. But, with trades, anything's possible.
Say goodbye to DeAndre Jordan, right?
I think they'd keep DeAndre because he's one of the crew.
Yeah, but could they make that work?
I think what ends up happening is a couple of their guys, their salaries.
Spencer
actually,
Dinwiddie, he gone.
Dinwiddie, Torian Prince. Now I'm getting really in the weeds here, but Torian Prince and Caris LeVert's contracts will balloon a little bit to make the salaries work, and the Nets would have to, here's a draft pick. You want a draft pick? That kind of thing.
Be like Oprah, pretty much. You get a draft pick. You get a draft pick. You get a draft pick, and you get a draft pick. My favorite Torian Prince moment, by the way, was when he was with Baylor. Remember the NCAA tournament and he got out-rebounded by Yale? And someone that was one of the media members goes, how does Baylor get out-rebounded by Yale? And Torian Prince goes, you rebound, you jump up, you box out your guy, you grab the basketball, and you bring it down. So that was my favorite Torian Prince moment. However, I do want to get to this topic with Eagles fans and also Falcons fans. And we were talking about it a little bit before the break. The way that you remember Kyle Shanahan right now is 28-3. He has a chance to put that in the rearview mirror and never look back at it again. For Andy Reid, he is remembered for getting so far and so close but yet so far with the Philadelphia Eagles with all those championship games. And in Kansas City, he's been close but yet so far it has not worked for Andy Reid. So I'm just curious, is the Atlanta Falcons fan rooting for Kyle Shanahan? I would say the Atlanta Falcons fan is not rooting for Kyle Shanahan because of how upsetting that is, that one moment, 28-3, Dan Quinn and him not doing what they should have done in terms of running the football. They're dropping back. They're passing. You get the holding penalty. You get the sack. You knock yourself out of field goal range after that spectacular catch by Julio Jones. I would say, since the Falcon fan hasn't won one since then, and they've been a bad team, I don't think the Falcon fan is rooting for Kyle Shanahan. The Eagle fan, though, and McNabb and Reed and the way that they're perceived in Philadelphia is always you ask 10 people, and I feel as if it would be split 50-50. Maybe in recent years it gets to 60-40. I would think, though, that the Eagle fan would be rooting for Andy Reid if you had to pull the majority of those fans, because they've won recently, and they won with an Andy guy in Doug Peterson. So since the Eagles won recently, now if the Eagles didn't win recently and Andy's going, I don't know if the Eagle fan would be rooting for Andy because of the, you look at it and you would say, well, why would I want to see my ex do well and me be sitting there with nothing of any significance in terms of winning a championship? So I do think the Eagle fan now will root for Andy on Sunday. If you take the majority, I don't think the Atlanta Falcons fan next Sunday will be rooting for Kyle Shanahan. If you had a former coach and that former coach was coaching the big game for somebody else, would you root for that former coach? Would you root for him to win it all next Sunday? And do you think Falcons fans are rooting for Kyle Shanahan and Eagles fans are rooting for Andy Reid? The number is always 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. When we come back, the Knicks are the gift that just keep on giving. You can't even make this one up. We'll tell you what it is when we return.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. Live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show.
Hey, like your show. First time I've heard it, but I like your style.
Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
This weekend, CBS's coverage of the PGA Tour season begins with a fantastic field, including Tiger, Rory, and Phil, as they head to Torrey Pines to compete at the Farmers Insurance Open. Coverage begins at 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific on Saturday and Sunday. The PGA Tour is on CBS. We'll get to this crazy Knicks story in just a moment. But what we're asking right now, if you're a Philadelphia Eagles fan, are you rooting for Andy Reid in the big game? I think a lot of Eagles fans are. And if you are an Atlanta Falcons fan, are you rooting for Kyle Shanahan in the big game next week? I don't think a lot of Atlanta Falcons fans are rooting for Kyle Shanahan, but who knows? Let's go to John, listening on radio.com in Philly. He's next up on CBS Sports Radio. John, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, man? Hey, I live in Philly. I work in Philly. Just wanted to say, everybody, I'm not an Eagles fan myself. I'm actually a Pats fan. Everybody lives, breathes, loves the Eagles, and they all want Andy Reid to win. Everyone in my work on the streets, I get people like cheering for Andy Reid after the Chiefs won. So they love him, man. I'm going to let you talk, but you're great, man. Love you.
Yeah, no problem, John. Appreciate it. Did he say love you at the end of the phone call?
That he did.
All right. I don't know what he said before that. The phone started to get a little muffled, but I just heard love you there at the end of it. So we appreciate John and kind of Philadelphia calling the show. So I worked in Philly at 97.5, which is a local station there, and then also WIP, which is the other local station. I was also able to intern for Angelo Cataldi. And Angelo's been their morning drive host for, I think he just celebrated his 30th year with the station. So congratulations to Uncle Ange. And Angelo Cataldi is not rooting for Andy Reid. He's made that clear. I heard that they're doing a WIP Appreciation Day for Andy Reid. Angelo's not on board. I don't think his longtime update anchor, Rhea Hughes, is on board either. I know John Marks in the afternoons there is not rooting for Andy Reid or doesn't really want to see Andy Reid win a ring as well. But then you get some former players too, John Ritchie, Ike Reese. I'm sure they're all rooting, obviously, for Andy Reid. They actually had Andy Reid on today to give a little pop to one of our local affiliates, WIP. I heard that interview. I saw they were having Andy Reid on, wanted to tune in, give it a listen. So John Marks and Ike Reese, they had Big Red on and Andy Reid. I do believe, though, when you win a championship not that long ago, which would be two Super Bowls ago, and I think when you're in a city like that that is so passionate and hungry and they get so close and they get teased for so long, they're going to look at those teams before they got the ring with a big sense of disappointment and a lot of disappointment in that those were teams that were so good, so many positive memories, but they never got over the hump. Now, since they won, not that it fully excuses those blunders. I think there's a greater appreciation, though, for those teams when you look back on it. And still, you could be upset that they came up short, but some of those pieces, if they did go on to win elsewhere, I don't think people would have been thrilled. But now that they got their ring, and now a lot of people that were Eagles fans can, quote-unquote, die in peace after winning that Super Bowl, that it does make it easy to now root for Andy Reid. Because if Reid, and I don't know if you agree or disagree with this, D-Ben, if Reid was in the Super Bowl this year and Philadelphia, let's say, lost to New England, let's say the Philly special wasn't successful or Brandon Graham didn't strip sack Tom Brady at the end of the game, I don't know if it's as much of a, I don't think it's as much of a slam dunk this time around as it is right now, where a lot of people are rooting for Andy Reid.
I strongly agree. The only thing that opens this up for any sort of love fest is the fact that they got it done, and that took the edge off the whole thing. But it didn't. I mean, they did not like the man when he left that job. They were done with Andy Reid.
And not only that, a lot of people from that team, like Donovan, and sometimes Donovan puts his own foot in his mouth and doesn't help himself. And, hey, it helped us go viral. It helped us when we had McNabb on. I happen to like McNabb. But when McNabb, we asked him that question about, it was Carson Wentz, what are your expectations? He said right away, oh, well, if they don't move on, you know, if they don't get to the NFC title game in the next 2 years, you got to start thinking about moving on. So there's a little jealousy there. McNabb will tell you he's just giving his honest opinion, which you have to respect as an analyst, and I do appreciate that from McNabb. He's not all caught up in what the former fan base is going to think, but there's times it could really annoy you and you get fed up with it. But I remember when McNabb was getting his number retired, being a student at Temple University, there was talk, is this guy going to get a standing ovation? Guy was getting his number retired. Guy is viewed as the greatest quarterback in franchise history, and people were wondering if he was going to get a standing ovation just because of him not winning that championship and how it did end in Philadelphia and some of the things after his Eagles career as well. McNabb, by the way, is slated to join us next week on Radio Row, so we'll have him on to talk about his head football coach, his former head football coach, and Andy Reid is now the HC of the Kansas City Chiefs, so very much looking forward to that. So I do agree, though, if the Eagles didn't win that Super Bowl, people are totally looking at it different. Now, Atlanta fans, you think there is a small minority of Atlanta Falcon fans that are rooting for Kyle Shanahan? A little bit different. It's an OC to a head coach when you look at Shanahan and Reid and what they were with those teams. Shanahan, though, and I think a lot of Falcons fans put it more on Dan Quinn, and I think it's totally fair, too. Because even if Dan Quinn isn't the offensive coordinator's offensive mind, in that moment, you need to be the head coach. And if you see something you don't like, you need to say, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. And after that Julio Jones catch, it was the complete opposite of that. So are Falcons fans, you think there's a group of Falcons fans that are rooting for Kyle Shanahan? I think that one's going to be tough to find.
It is more complicated. I never got the idea that Kyle Shanahan was like the target of the ire of Atlanta fans after that night. The night of, he absolutely was, but it faded fast, and now everyone can see that he's a spectacular football coach. So I think Falcons fans are probably like rooting for him in the spirit of he was here and we liked him until we didn't. But I think it's going to be hard for them to actually full on at, like, let's put it this way. If it comes down to a late game scenario, Jimmy's marching up the field to try to put them in position for a game winning field goal, I think it's going to be hard for Falcons fans to earnestly want it for Kyle Shanahan. I do think that's tough.
Do you think it's different from players and coaches in terms of a former player leaves a team, didn't win with that team, and goes elsewhere? Are you inclined to root for that player that left your team? I'll throw one out there. Mikey B. Jason Kidd. You love Jason Kidd.
Right.
When he was with the Mavericks, were you rooting for him to win that title?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, is there a player that you... If you like a player, is it just because that's Kidd, that's one of the greatest players in that franchise history, does that make it different if it was an average, above average player Does that make you more inclined to root for that player if he goes wins it with another team?
I think, well, the example you used with Jason Kidd, that's the extreme one. Change the franchise around. I wanted to see him win one. As long as it wasn't in that Knicks jersey, I was cool with him doing it in Dallas. If you go a peg below, it definitely changes things up a bit. But as a fan, if there's a player that you connect with and he did so much for your franchise, I think you're more inclined to root for him to go out there and win a title. You want to see them succeed because of all the happiness that he brought you and your team as a fan.
Sure, but when that title was won by that player and Jason Kidd, it had to be part of you just as a fan that said, well, we had two chances and we came up short.
Yes and no. I would say yes, that part of, yeah, we did come up short. But he was also in the twilight of his career. He wasn't as good. He was more of a role player that was helping out that team. It wasn't like they had the superstar that left. It's not like a Kevin Durant, yeah, for example. Hey, here's Kidd at the end of the career. He's done so much for the sport. He's going to go out and win a title and help Dirk get what, you know, what he needed to achieve.
Yeah, you're right. It does depend on how you leave. And it does depend if that was a happy or ugly divorce with the Nets. There was nothing they could do. It was time. He was older, all that. He had his run, put the franchise on the map and all that. For a player like Durant, I'm not expecting when Durant goes from OKC, where they couldn't beat the Warriors and blew that lead, then joins the Golden State Warriors. I think that's more than fair for the OKC fan to sit there and say, yeah, I'm going to be rooting for the Cleveland Cavaliers and going to be rooting for the team that goes up against Kevin Durant. Now, here's a question that I wonder. If Brooklyn, and we're throwing Brooklyn out there a lot tonight, which I know is right up Mikey B's sleeve. If Brooklyn, let's say, in 3 years is in the finals. So, not this year, obviously. They're not going to be the finals this year. Let's say next year, KD slowly works his way back, plays great. They make it to the second round. In year number three, if they're in the championship round, let's just say against, I don't know, the Lakers. So it's LeBron. Would OKC fans root for Kevin Durant at all in that finals going up against LeBron? Brooklyn going up against the Lakers with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, since it's a different team than the one that he left to directly jump from the Thunder to someone else, since it's a different team.
I think those OKC fans will still be rooting against Kevin Durant and rooting for the Lakers just because of how that ended. I think that animosity will stick. I do believe, though, in maybe like 15, 20 years, when it's all said and done and everybody's retired and it's a whole different world and LeBron James' son is dominating the NBA, or he might even be retired by then, I think then the fans will reflect on it and give him his due and understand his greatness.
Will he get a standing ovation if they ever retire his jersey to OKC? I think there could be some boos. Maybe he goes back one day. I don't think that would happen. I don't think he would. With the way that he's talked about the franchise, I don't think he'll ever go back. But who knows? Whoever thought that LeBron James was going to return after what happened with Dan Gilbert. Real quickly, though, I want to give you this Knicks story because everyone needs a chuckle after all those serious, hard-hitting questions that I just threw out there on CBS Sports Radio. It is the Zach Gelb Show. Ian Begley of SNY. This is the Knicks had playoff expectations this year. That is comical. This is what Ian Begley said. Even though they didn't say so publicly, privately they believed that the Knicks were a playoff team, management that is, and anything less than that was a disappointment. Players who were entering free agency in the summer of 2020 were told that they would be judged much more heavily on the team's win-loss record than their individual play. Yikes. I'm telling you, Knicks management, I tweeted this out, Knicks management goes to Florida, and they say they're going to get the best Philly cheesesteak. Or they're in New York City and Steve Mills and Perry go, I'm going to get the best slice of pizza there is in New York. And they go get the $1 slice type of pizza. And they're sober while doing that. How did the Knicks actually think in a summer where they did swing and miss on every big free agent? How did the Knicks think with this roster that you could even float out? And I could be understand being ambitious, but tell your players that there's playoff expectations this year. A team with Kevin Knox, Julius Randle, Bobby Portis, RJ Barrett, Mitchell Robinson, Frank Ntilikina, Marcus Morris, Dennis Smith Jr., Taj Gibson, Alonzo Trier, Reggie Bullock? That's a team that you have playoff expectations? No, it's a team that you would expect would be a bad team. Don't tell me, oh, they brought in a bunch of good forwards, so they should be able to be competitive. Stop it. 12-33 is what I kind of expected the Knicks would be at this point in the season, give or take a few wins or losses. The Knicks, man. Them having the expectations of playoffs this year is comical. Almost as comical as telling that Kevin Durant, oh yeah, they didn't want to give him a max. They were skeptical of giving him a max contract. What a joke the Knicks are.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.